word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing into the dividing the center of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, critical of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This morning, to 1 Thessalonians, where we'll pick up in our analysis of verse 8, around page 23 of our notes. Okay, through God's grace, we have another year we can approach to seek to serve Him and run our course and be found acceptable to Him in the end of it all. And based on this principle, the fact that we have assembled ourselves together once again this morning shows our interest in regards to God's plan for faith-based teaching, and to maximize and benefit in regards to this principle, obviously it demands that each and every one of us are in fellowship, that we isolate the sin nature, that we allow God the Holy Spirit to have rulership over our souls and therefore be predisposed in this state of spirituality to apprehend the truth of Bible doctrine undistorted by the sin nature, unwavering in regards to God's Word versus human viewpoint that's out there that saturates this world, and to reprogram our mind with the mind of Christ so that we can effectively serve Him in this capacity. So with that in mind, we'll give everyone opportunity, as is our custom, to rebound as we start with our usual word of prayer. Father, again, we thank You for all the grace and mercy that You have bestowed upon us, upon this local church. We ask once again this morning that You continue to bless the positive volition of the saints throughout the world, and that You bless us in our understanding of these things once again before us, to utilize and implement in our own Christian lives, as we are enlightened by God the Holy Spirit once again at this level. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here in the remainder of chapter 1, we see, because of the quality of positive volition at this local church at Thessalonica, that quality obviously inherently discussed and revealed in the first 5 verses. But exterior-wise, in this regard, it is seen the fact of their application and their willingness to follow the lead of Team Paul, who follows the example of Jesus Christ, in regards to their willingness to hold fast to Bible doctrine, even in and under a state of persecution. And in that regards, God is able to utilize them, an example to other believers, which was the issue of thankfulness of verses 6 and 7. Further, that they are of such example, God is therefore predisposed to also use them with a greater impact, if you will, and that as a source of evangelistic witness, both geographically widespread, as well as clarity and extent of message. And this is the issue brought out in verses 8 through 10, rereading verse 8, which describes the scope geographically of the impact of their witness. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we, Team Paul, have no need to say anything. The phrase, the word of the Lord, obviously looks at the gospel message, which one must understand that the gospel is visualized in the Bible in two parts. Phase 1 gospel, gospel 1, which is the message of salvation from eternal condemnation, which comes through an act of faith in the person of Jesus Christ as object of faith. That is faith apart from works. But there is also a continuation of the gospel that is provided, which is the phase 2 gospel, and that is for the believer then in regards to their experiential Christian life and what God demands of them, whereas the object of faith in that realm is Bible doctrine. And it, of necessity, demands application experientially in regards to the believers. So the word of the Lord sounding forth looks at the gospel message, if you will, in a comprised way, in its fullest extent, summarily, in regards to what the people heard with respect to these saints. And it recognizes that the plan of God centers on faith in Christ, and then afterwards, in continuation of faith, standing firm in the faith of Bible doctrine. And all that is within the perils of the angelic conflict, which this whole situation in Thessalonica obviously characterizes and illustrates and demonstrates in regards to the immense persecution that these believers reveal their positive volition under that circumstance and situations. And they yet did not waver in regards to faith. And these are relatively new believers meeting this onslaught of antagonism and hostility. So just pick up point 15 here, page 23. Now the verb has sounded forth. Has sounded forth. The perfect passive of this verb, point 15, has sounded forth, indicates an impact of their witness that had a continuing and resonating effect. The perfect tense looks at action in the past with existing results. So 16, the purpose of the effect here is to appeal to positive volition, potential, or active. In other words, positive volition that is yet latent, but potentially there in regards to the gospel beginning phase 1 and further being extended phase 2 if positive volition exists at that level, as well as others who are already believers who are revealing their positive volition. And the effect of their witness, of their application, is enduring in regards to its impact upon positive volition in both cases. So 17, the nuance of the verb here has sounded forth is of a loud and clear message heard everywhere. 18, the term, while it's only used one time in the New Testament, the term is used in Septuagint, of warning to the multitudes of the impending judgment of the day of the Lord. In the Septuagint, the translation in the Septuagint is the report, which is like a trumpet blast, sounded forth in the valley of judgment. The Masoretic text simply says multitudes, multitudes, and it looks at the vast number of people that obviously hear the message of this judgment, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of judgment. So, obviously, the term has the meaning of clarity and far-reaching, in effect, those who hear it. So, 19, the idea in our verse is that the Thessalonian witness was all sufficient to provide a clear read upon any outside observer as to the issues of the plan of God. The report, obviously, their witness was with clarity, and it had sufficient information for those who heard it to recognize and comprehend the issues at hand. So 20, this is substantiated in the feedback heard by Paul in the following verses 9 through 10. And when we get to those verses, which notes the scope of their message and its clarity and extent, we'll see all issues of evangelizing Gospel 1 and 2. The primary issues are addressed and brought forth in regards to the news that traveled with respect to this local church. It's really fairly phenomenal when you look at it and how God is able to use positive volition and impact of witness towards others without them doing anything apart from staying in their niche and applying Bible doctrine in the face of persecution. So 21, the term points to the fact that the most strident message we can send as to our belief comes from our loyalty to Bible doctrine and application in spite of opposition. Obviously, part of Paul's thankfulness is how God is not hindered and upset in regards to seemingly bad things that happen to believers. And that in spite of the persecution, Paul's volition came to the surface in regards to this region and this city in Thessalonica. And it did not deter God's will for them in message and otherwise. And most often, the loudest, clearest proclamation of our faith comes when we are standing firm in Bible doctrine in spite of people that are opposing us in that respect. It's one thing to be going and doing your normal thing in life and nothing really great going on, but when opposition occurs, and especially on such a grand scale as this, whereas a whole city got involved, when these people said, we believe this, the fact that they did not cower and cave in spite of the opposition, is an obvious proclamation of what they believe and how firm they stand in regards to it, willing, if you will, even to give their own lives in many cases, the martyrs throughout Christendom, etc., that have been examples of this kind of faith. And it sends a very loud and clear message that those who are positive are unwavering. They are loyal and committed to the end. See, in spite of what other crap Satan can throw at them through negative volition and other people's STAs otherwise. So, as the world might look upon things of this nature happening to believers as bad, Bible doctrine gives you a whole different viewpoint and perspective in regards to it. So 22, now it is here that Fundy commentators immediately jump on the, quote, missionary, end quote, bandwagon as to the source of witness. That is, their interpretation is speculation that the Thessalonians sent out missionaries, evangelists, and this is how this message was spread in regards to the regions. But it's in violation of the text itself and of the grammar, that stand. So 23, this interpretation is derailed with the passive voices of has sounded forth that denotes an agency outside their local church spreading the news. Again, the passive voice in the Greek denotes an outside agent involved. And that agency is outside of the local church. So it is not their role, if you will, of sounding forth. Not their actions per se that causes a message to spread. So 24, now other commentaries readily accept the fact that the news of the Thessalonians came by way of their strategic location geographically. Again, as we brought out in the introduction in regards to the geography of Thessalonica, 25, Thessalonica being a great commercial and political center of the Via Ignatia Highway, transmitters were more than plentiful. People, the fact that they constantly had movement and a flux of people through there because of commerce, etc. Obviously, the ears and mouths to travel and spread the news is more than sufficient to take a situation such as this, and that news would spread like wildfire based on this being a hub commercially, etc., to spread out. So 26, on top of it, the events surrounding this church were a citywide affair. News was spread fast and far. It wasn't just an isolated situation. The whole town, the whole city became involved. These religious reversionists Jews in this regard, got the rabble-rousers stirred up, and they essentially got the city in its entirety involved. And so therefore, it is news that is like broadcast all over the place. Nothing hidden. And obviously those who are there based on business or other means, hears and sees all this while it's going on. Once they're out, I guarantee you their guns were yapping fast and hard. You ain't going to believe what went down in this city. And hence, that is how the news was spread. So 27, so this brings in the perspective here. And this obviously is important for us to gap and understand today as we are faced with the bombardment of misunderstanding of what evangelism is all about and how the fundamentalist and denominational churches tend to present it in regards to outreach. So 27, all this local church had to do was apply Bible doctrine in their niche. They didn't go anywhere. They just sit there and endured. And they embraced the truth and stayed in fellowship, kept their SCAs isolated based on the doctrine and frame of reference they had. And they just had to apply doctrine in their niche. God, who is in control of all life logistics, provided the means for their witness to have its designed impact. This idea, people, if you're not out knocking on doors, people are dying, going to hell, is hooey in regards to how God's word is presented otherwise. God is not limited and restricted by what we do or don't do. If population exists anywhere on this planet, you can take it to the bank that they will be given a gospel message before they exit this world. To the degree, whatever population they may have, phase one and phase two, in this respect. And that we have to crank things up, etc., in outreach and evangelism is ludicrous. That's the energy of the flesh. And people, evangelists of this sort, violate doctrine all over the place, generally speaking. They're not really sensitive to God's will for them. Geographically and otherwise. Many of these people believe their whole worlds are canon, that they don't need to be actually sitting there face-to-face teaching themselves. They can just go out and do their camp meetings or whatever else they want to do. You know, tent revival meetings, see. Etc. And getting people all stirred up, having the rallies and all these other things. Well, we're not under that yoke. It's just really another form of legalism in regards to our responsibility. I'm not diminishing our responsibility in regards to application of doctrine and witness otherwise. Obviously, that is being highlighted here. Because of their application, they were God was able to use them in witness in this respect. But on the other end of the coin, God's still in control of all circumstances and situations of life. And therefore, he can provide any means necessary for population to hear the gospel message and have its desired impact. So 28, contrary to the funding mentality, believers or churches do not have to crank things up to evangelize those around them. Let's give away a new car, we'll get the numbers in, and we can evangelize. That's their whole concept. Actually, they're after the money to pay for the new car. So, in regards to evangelizing, the number one word to have in your mind is relax. The next word is compound, faith rest. Then you just hang in there with Bible doctrine and God. Through our normal course of life, in our Christian life, will open and close doors for opportunities to evangelize in this respect. So that's point 29. Through our normal course of life, God will open doors for the message and witness of this word to reach out to others. Again, what were they doing? They were just trying to go to work, trying to go to Bible class, trying to apply Bible doctrine, and people took issue with them and raised a big stink about it. And the news spread like wildfire. that they were willing to cave in and succumb in regards to this open hostility that was exercised towards them in regards to their faith. And they became an effective witness in message to the entire region of Macedonia, as well as other aspects of the Roman Empire, as our verses so proclaim. So 30, that's where we left off last year, that he is more than able to do so on an individual basis is proven by his interceding with this local church on a grand scale, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone forth. Macedonia and Achaia, as politically this region was subdivided at the time of Paul's writing, but also other places that extends even beyond that within the Roman Empire. So 31, in our contact with others, in our immediate periphery, we may never truly know the far-reaching impact it may have on others. You rub shoulders one person one day, they can be halfway across the country on another day and be telling people exactly what happened when you rub shoulders. And news can spread. News can travel, see. It's the reason why to stay on top of our game spiritually and be always at the ready in regards to our witness, in application especially. And then, obviously, as opportunity arises, in message. So, you know, I've had the phone calls. You never know, you know, who's reading our website, reading our notes. Just when you think, you know, it's just kind of like there for what purpose, you know, somebody calls, I'd like to have every doctrine you've got. I can't believe this stuff. Oh, yeah? Well, you go to church. So I go to the Baptist church. So there's part of your problem. Not human. But he recognized it. So you never know, see. And what God makes available for us, that's what we utilize. And we don't overreact and try to crank things up otherwise. 32, God is not confined by earthly boundaries. And he is able to extend our outreach ministry at home to whatever degree he wills. If he wanted to utilize us as a local church, at a level of application under persecution to evangelize people around it, just like Thessalonica, he could do it. Now, you want to really evangelize that bad? So that's the question. Do you really want to come under persecution that bad? Well, if that's what it takes, that's what it takes, see? But the issue is, we don't have to do anything to crank it up. See? And this energy of the flesh is obviously that yoke that the fundamentalists and denominationalism puts upon people and tries to get on us to try to make you feel guilty or whatever. The constant phone calls about your outreach ministry and we can do this. All it is marketing. You know, that's what the fundies do. They market the gospel to different fashions, different forms. It's just no different believers putting out signs on their businesses. You know, Jesus saves. All they're doing is marketing. Come on. You know, people can't see through this hogwash, this lukewarmness, this merchandising of God's Word otherwise. They're just blind. We don't have to market. God will do that for us. And he's not confined by the physical as we are. And he's able to utilize our witness to any degree he needs to. 33, this too, in spite of opposition seeking to squelch our message to those who may oppose us and do other things, badmouth us, make accusations, all other kinds of things that those who are negative and antagonistic to positive volition often do in attacks. It could be people that used to be part of doctrine, and they leave because of their STA. They go negative, and all of a sudden, they're your worst enemies in life. Constantly attacking, etc. But that doesn't deter God. That doesn't stop God. 34, the news of this local church spread even beyond the boundaries of their immediate and intermediate geography of Macedonia and Achaia, but also to other regions, as the phrase, "in every place your faith toward God has gone forth," suggests. So 35, the news of the conversion of these predominantly Gentile pagans that became believers, and their fortitude to stand for Bible doctrine to face persecution, was a topic of discussion all over the place by unbelievers and believers alike. While the first line of the impact was obviously towards other followers of volition that Paul so recognizes as encouragement, now the emphasis is on the evangelistic impact. In addition to that, so that would include unbelievers and believers alike. So 36, now the phrase, "your faith toward God," su hepistis heprostheos, is literally in the Greek, "your faith," the one faith, "toward God." 37, the singular number attributed to their faith here looks to the collective faith of this local church that now has a heavenly focus. That now has a heavenly focus. They had a different read on life. They had a different frame of mind in regards to life. They have a different source of which they draw their information from. That is God's Word, the truth of Bible doctrine. And they now have a heavenly focus toward God rather than on the physical of this world, of Satan's world around them. And the singular aspect of their faith looks at their collective faith as they represent themselves as a local church. An example in this respect. So 38, they illustrated that they were now living under a new reign of the kingdom of God. When you become a believer, you become a citizen of a new kingdom. You become a member of a new family. And it's a spiritual kingdom and a spiritual family in this respect. And that you are of another kingdom, obviously now you have another ruler. The same ruler that Jesus Christ constantly referred to, as well as Paul and others, and those who are negative would make accusation of being politically rebellious and anti-government in regards to Caesar and other rulers of Rome, because they did not understand. If they did, they still misrepresented it. And to have people take what you say out of context, don't let that bother you. It happens all the time. But God knows and reads our hearts. He knows what we said. These people, under their collective faith, this local church, demonstrated through their application that they were operating in a new set of rules with a new ruler. So 39, they, as with Team Paul, presented themselves on a united front. Again, not to lose part of the uniqueness of this epistle, and that is how it is presented in regards to united positive volition, both Team Paul as well as this local church. And they clung together. They sought each other for refuge and comfort and encouragement in the midst of the attacks that occurred. And they hung in there as a unit, as a local church. And they, in this way, are emulating Team Paul in positive volition. So 40, their faith here is active faith, including both saving and phase 2 faith. Phase 2 faith, inhale, exhale faith. You believe the doctrine, inhale, you apply it, exhale. That's the breathing technique for phase 2 application, or phase 2 service to God. So 41, now the perfect active indicative of the verb has gone forth out from, literally, ex erkomai, parallels the perfect tense of has sounded forth, the first part of the verse, has sounded forth from you. They're both perfects, and it parallels that. However, one's passive, the other one's active. So 44, 41 again, the perfect active indicative of the verb has gone forth out from parallels the perfect tense of has sounded forth. 42, their faith, their positive volition, as we would say it. Found a compatible partner in the Word of God, or in the Word of Bible doctrine, producing an ongoing witness exposed through their applications. The Word of God sounded forth from you. Their faith is toward God has gone forth. So, the faith, their positive volition, in the compatibility of the parallel, found a compatible partner, positive volition, with the Word of God, the truth of Bible doctrine. And that, in turn, produced an ongoing witness that is evidenced or exposed through their applications. So 43, the active voice of has gone forth now switches the responsibility of witness to the Thessalonians, that in contrast to the passive of has sounded forth, here it's active, that they have their faith has gone forth. So 44, God's part in spreading the gospel finds its compatible partner in the willingness of positive volition's adherence to Bible doctrine. For God to utilize a local church as a witness, obviously the local church must be willing to be used in that capacity. Now obviously God's not limited to what He can use to evangelize. But here the issue is, the emphasis is, on having the kind of quality of positive volition, the kind of local church that's an example to others, and being an effective witness in the Christian, Satan's world in this regards. So positive volition finds his compatible partner in the truth of Bible doctrine, and God in turn, in spreading the gospel, finds his compatible partner in the willingness of positive volition's adherence to that doctrine. So 45, the responsibility of the believer is here simply stated as being positive to Bible doctrine. Your faith towards God. What's that saying? They're positive towards Bible doctrine. Faith towards God is characterized in the Word of the Lord. It's stipulated and brought out. So 46, all the believer needs to do, once again, is to acclimate to God's will for their life, and He will provide all else necessary for evangelism to occur. He will open and close the doors. We just got to stick to our knitting, stay the course, and let God do so. Now obviously, if there is no population around, then God's not obligated in regards to evangelizing to occur. In fact, in situations such as that, your evangelizing is simply an exercise of culpability. It just makes people more culpable now. God may want that in regards to certain types of volition. But otherwise, if there is not volition, then the evangelism, and we live in a country was predominantly Christian. Phase 1 gospel has been fairly clearly articulated over the decades of our existence. So, you know, they have a lot of Phase 1 evangelizing occur in this country. At this point in time in its history, it probably is going to be next to nil. So you're evangelizing and in that sense, you may not experience a lot. But, you know, I'm not saying it will or won't. I'm just saying looking at our history. And then the evangelizing opportunities tends to come more along the lines of gospel phase two for us and in our society in that respect. And even that is sparse, as it seems anyway, at this point in time. We do good to keep our own church going. People say, how's business? You know, looking at me as the preacher. I've got to go see the family over the holidays. I feel like the Three Stooges. How's business? Hey, lose son, game son. Status quo. And really, you know, all the years I've been on doctrine, that's generally just the way every church operates. That doesn't mean that there may not be spurts, times otherwise, and God can't turn things around. But we also take things within the reality of the time of which we live. People are more wrapped up in what our society has to offer than they are the truth of Bible doctrine. I can guarantee you that. For on our part, what we got to do is just stay the course, stay acclimated to God's will, reveal it, evidence it in our application. Gospel phase two, you tell people you need to be under sound Bible teaching, you know, and you need to be in Bible class. Well, you better follow up with your own applications in that regards, or else your witness kind of loses a little punch there. And God, otherwise, will open and close doors for us, provide all else necessary, all the tools, logistically and otherwise, to evangelize. So, 47, in fact, the actions of God on behalf of positive volition here, in the case of Thessalonians, are seen as so complete that even Team Paul can make no improvements. That is, as he states, so that we have no need to say anything. We being Team Paul. Their message has sounded forth and gone forth to such a degree, to such an extent, with such clarity, that even Team Paul couldn't improve upon it. It was not necessary for them to rehash the events for people for Paul's volition to be encouraged or otherwise the message of the whole situation as it's so designed to be disseminated. They didn't have to engage in that. 48, the result so that, which is hoste in the Greek, of God utilizing Thessalonians' Paul's volition was such that it was not necessary for Paul to recount the occurrence verbally any further. Not necessary is the may kriya. No need. There is no need. See. It is not necessary at all to say anything. Not one word. The news was spread so completely. So 49, by the time he might reach all the places otherwise designated, the news and witness of the Thessalonians have preceded him, as verses 9 through 10 further reveal, as he will go in and then say what was reported to them in regards to the situation, in regards to the Thessalonians. So, essentially, God covers bases, whereas Team Paul is limited geographically where they could be. They didn't stop God for at that point in time when positive volition was ready to pop out and to hear the news to hear it otherwise. So 49 again, by the time he might reach all the places otherwise designated, the news and witness of Thessalonians had preceded him, as verses 9 through 10 further reveal. 50, the fundamentality that people are dying and going to hell or otherwise, missing the boat spiritually because believers are not knocking on doors, etc. is bogus. Doesn't stop God. He knows where positive volition exists. He knew every soul that would be created and whether it would be positive or negative, and he knew exactly in time and history when it would be ready and primed to come to surface, etc. He knew all these things. He controls all life. He's not going to let anybody drop through the cracks. See? And If he can't get somebody there physically, he'll find another way to ensure that the message is otherwise received by them in regards to somebody formal evangelizing, doing missionary work of that type. So 51, God is more than able to take our witness in our niche and use it to impact seekers otherwise separated geographically. The news was such that any potential apostolation from unbelievers would be stirred to investigate further, looking at volition in this process, and existing apostolation were otherwise being encouraged. For those where apostolation might exist, there would be, obviously, an unbeliever, there would be interest. Wow, these people all turned away from our paganism, our pagan beliefs, to this faith. And otherwise, so everything was sufficient for volition to operate and to respond appropriately. That's the whole issue. So 53, further, that Paul did not find it necessary to bring the issues up, insinuates that he was otherwise prepared to discuss the matters. That he didn't have any need that wasn't necessary on the other end of the coin, he would have been prepared. And he was prepared to discuss the matters if necessary with others as a source of encouragement, etc. So that's point 54, at the end of the verse here. There is a sense in which it is perfectly appropriate for a shepherd to spend time talking about Bible doctrine to and its reception and its in his particular net of the woods. Or pastors talk to each other. Obviously, do your best to not invade anybody's privacy, but to know how things going. Nothing big going on right now. It's just really laid back. Well, that's the way we like it. You know, whatever. Those things are appropriate. I'll talk about getting involved in gossip and things of this nature. Alright, now in verses 9 through 10, we have here the clear message of the witness as it's reported. The feedback now that comes back to Paul of the words of what people have heard. So looking at the Greek here, verse 9, for they themselves report about us what kind of a reception we had with you. Again, we have the explanatory conjunction for, gar, G-A-R, with the emphatic use of the relative pronoun, personal pronoun, autos, A-U-T-O-S, they themselves, the audience of hearers, obviously, that have received the news, those in view, report. Report here is a present active indicative of our verb apengelo, A-P-A-N-G-E-L-L-O. They keep on reporting back, the present tense, denoting the continuous action, or reporting back or informing publicly as a nuance. The news is just, this is what you hear, whether they may be talking directly to Team Paul or within the vicinity of Paul's ears, and they hear this. That's the idea. Report about us. It begins first with Team Paul here. Concerning or about is your preposition peri, P-E-R-I, followed with our personal pronoun ego in the plural, E-G-O, first person plural. What kind of reception we had with you? You have here qualitative adjective that's used as an interrogative. It is an interrogative in that regards and has that nuance. It's our adjective hopoios, H-O-P-O-I-O-S, hopoios, of what kind of, as in question. But it emphasizes the quality, obviously, of the reception. Reception is your noun, excuse me, feminine singular, isodos, E-I-S-O-D-O-S, reception or welcome. That's what that noun means, used five times. We had with you, We had as your aorist active indicative of the verb echo, E-C-H-O, with you, pros, face-to-face encounter. They're evangelizing the Thessalonians, P-R-O-S, preposition prost. Taking the accusative here of the person pronoun in plural, reference to the Thessalonians, su, S-U. And he goes on and gives the details and how you turn to God from idols to serve a living and true God. Get a connective chi. Then we have the second interrogative here as an adverb, how, post, P-O-S. Turned to God. How you turned to God. You turned is the aorist active indicative of the verb epistrepho, E-P-I-S-T-R-E-P-H-O, epistrepho. To turn around figuratively means how they changed or changed their mind, repented, has that nuance. Turn here, turned around to God. Notice an opposite direction now, a posture. To God, again, your preposition pros, P-R-O-S, to this new relationship, new faith. The God with the definite article, theos, T-H-E-O-S. From idols, away from is your preposition apo, A-P-O, turn around toward God. From idols, are now for idols with the definite article, in the plural here, obviously taking the ablative following the preposition. To, idolon, E-I-D-O-L-O-N. It's used 11 times, it's now in the New Testament. Here for the purpose to serve a living and true God. Infinitive of purpose, present active of our verb douluo, P-O-U-L-E-U-O. To serve, to obey, to be enslaved to a living and true God, as God is characterized here as the first living adjective, and you have a participle here, adjectival participle, present active of zao, C-A-O, living, and connective chi, and the adjective simply for true, genuine, alethenos, A-L-E-T-H-I-N-O-S. And, verse 10, to wait for a son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead. Connective chi, to wait for or expect. We have a second infinitive here, again another infinitive of purpose. Second purpose, to wait is anameno, A-N-A-M-E-N-O. It's used one time. To wait for his son, to wait for, expect. His, reference to God, back in verse 9, the pronoun autos. Then our noun for son at the definite article, houios, H-U-I-O-S, reference obviously to Christ. From, out from, literally preposition ek, P-K, heaven. Here in the plural, the heavens, as is generally used idiomatically here, definite article, ho, and the noun uranos. O-U-R-A-N-O-S. Whom he raised from the dead is your pronominal phrase here, relative pronoun whom, accusative masculine singular host, H-O-S, reference to son. Raised is your aorist active indicative verb egiro, E-G-E-I-R-O, literally means to arouse from sleep. Hence we figuratively refer to death as sleep. Raised up, here, obviously, the idea is resurrection. Is resurrection. Since it's raised from the dead, again, the preposition F repeated, and are now for dead, with the adjective used pronominally here, ho, nekros, N-E-K-R-O-S. Then he identifies specifically who he's speaking of. That is Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. That is supplied, to make sense in the English. In the Greek, you have simply the name for Jesus, Jesus, i.e. S-O-U-S, who delivers us. It is another participle here, adjectival, with a definite article. Makes it adjectival because it's used with a proper name. Ho, ruomai, H-R-U-O-M-A-I, the verb, present, deponent verb, the one delivering, rescuing, literally, us, pronoun ego, reference to Paul and all believers, from the wrath to come. From is your preposition at again, and then our noun for wrath with the definite article, in the Abbey's case, hey, orge, O-R-G-E, wrath or fierce anger, judgment, obviously, is in view. To come, the wrath, literally, the one, reference to wrath coming, the one wrath coming, as you've literally translated. You have the definite article, again, with the adjectival participle, present component of the verb, a erkomai, E-R-C-H-O-M-A-I. All right, take a break.